Sharing with somebody, he said to me, he said, how weak the church is. He said, how weak my church is. He said, in times like this, it's an opportunity to differentiate the church and the heathen. He said, do you know what will happen if the church is living in my word and my protection? And the people around them are saying, wow, how come you are different? He said, am I not living in them? Is my presence not in them? Is my power not in them? Is there anything my power can handle? He said, but the point is that people don't know me and they don't trust me enough. I'm telling you, I won't tell you, Father, what he was sharing with me. I won't tell you. We're talking about what we want to talk about this morning is the last day rain for the last day harvest. The last day rain for the last day harvest. Let's say it together. Let's say it again. The last day rain for the last day harvest. James chapter 5, verse 7. The book of James 5, verse 7. Is it 33 minutes? Okay, the last, James 5, 7, please. You should adjust that time. I don't think it's 33 minutes. You should make it 47 minutes. James 5, 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for what? The precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he receives the early and later rain. No, it's verse 7 we're reading. Verse 7. Go back to verse 7. Be patient therefore, brethren, until the coming of who? Of the Lord. The Lord is the husbandman that is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth and is patiently waiting for it until he receives the product of the early rain and the later rain. You say, why is the Lord waiting? It is not the will of God that any should perish. He gave his life for the salvation of mankind. So he wants the entire world to come into the benefit of the sacrifice he made, and he's patiently waiting until he receives the harvest that is coming out of the pouring of the early rain and the later rain. Now, this desire of the Lord Jesus Christ, this expectation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this thing he's waiting for so patiently, has to come through his body. Has to come through his body. His body is the agent through which the Spirit of God brings this harvest. Somebody has to go and harvest. Remember, he says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he send laborers. We are the ones that should go and labor and bring the harvest in. Now, but if the church of Jesus Christ is not living by the same spirit of Christ. And I want you to listen to me. If you and me are not being controlled and living by the same spirit of Christ that is having this expectation, we will not be in sync with him. We will be pursuing a different agenda. When his expectation is about the harvest and about the rain, our expectations will be about something else. And we will not be useful. We will not be engaging in what he wants us to engage in. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians verse 15, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. For all men most miserable. And the reason is because unless the Christian, and I want to say it again, that's the importance of this spirit life that we are pursuing, that we are teaching and focusing everybody on it. Unless the Christian is living the spirit life, not the carnal life, not the carnal life, unless the Christian is controlled by the same spirit of Christ that is looking forward for this service, the Christian will not be useful. He will not serve God in full capacity that God will expect him to serve. And so when we begin to pursue the love of God to control us, to be our main focus of life, then we begin to engage in the same expectations that Jesus has, and we are motivated by his Spirit to be engaged in this service that he's expecting to have. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your what? Your great quest. Make it your great quest. Pursue. Set a goal that you live the Spirit life. Eagerly pursue. Let it be your quest in life. Above all things, to live the Spirit life of love, to be controlled by the love of Jesus, should be the number one quest of every Christian, every believer, every believer. 2 Corinthians 5:13. If it seems we are crazy, if it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit too. Verse 14. Either way, Christ's love, what? Controls us. Christ's love controls us. Quest to live the Spirit life. Desire to live the Spirit life. Don't just be a church comer, just warm a seat. No goal, nothing in pursuit, nothing. No, desire to be controlled by the Spirit of Christ. Desire to be led by the Spirit of God. Desire to have the same mind that Jesus had operating in my life and in your life. A desire. And it says, since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. What is the result of that? Verse 15, we tell you the result of that. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for what? For themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. The pursuit of the life of Christ, the pursuit of control of the love of God, the pursuit of growing spiritually, to develop the Spirit life, is the number one quest every Christian should have. Without it, we will not participate in God's last day's plan of the mighty harvest that Jesus is expecting. It will not mean much to us at all. We'll just be churchgoers who come to church, throw into church, throw away, and be running our program controlled by the world. And you know, it has been an age-long process. In every generation, God has always been looking for a man. He's always been looking for a man that will walk with him on earth. Because the earth is given to the children of men. He has always looked for a man he will use on earth to pursue his purpose and his plan. And as I read on Thursday, if you look in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, you will see that God was seeking a man. He was seeking a man. And I sought for a man. Ezekiel 22, 30. And I sought for what? I didn't hear you. For I sought for what? A man among them. What would this man do? Who will make a wall and stand where? In the gap before me in prayer on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. But I found so many people. Come on, church. I found what? No. Brethren, to pursue the Spirit life of Christ is so lacking. People are pursuing what? Using God and church to pursue money. All our prayers are about earthly things that have limited value. They don't solve problem. I'm telling you. God said, I sought for a man among them. Who will make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. You said, wow, even when Jesus came, I told you on Thursday, he still found nobody. Matthew 9:37. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is what? You are not talking. You have to talk. The harvest truly is what? I want to hear you. The harvest truly is what? But what is happening? Laborers are few. Very few. And yet, the Bible says the Lord is waiting for the harvest. Laborers, few. God said, I found none. Jesus said, I saw just few. And then the Holy Spirit said, I found none. Philippians 2:21. For all seek what? Can we read that 21 together? One, two, go, let's go. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Can we read it one more time? My brothers and sisters, from generation to generation, this thing has been the pattern. Can't you see? In the Old Testament, God said, I saw nobody. Jesus came, he said, I saw few people. And the Holy Spirit said, I found none in the church. Put it back. Put it back. Put it back. For all seek their own. All. He's talking about the church of Jesus, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Do you know, to serve God acceptably is to live by the Spirit of Christ. Because without that Spirit of Christ controlling me and controlling you, you will be pursuing a different program from God. You will not have the love that drives you to pursue the same thing for which God's heartbeat is beating. You have love for different something. You know, the love of the world will take you away from the love of God. You can't walk in sync with God. You don't serve God acceptably because you sit in church. You don't. It's good to come to church. It's awesome. But beyond that, you cannot. I can serve God. You can serve God with your carnal mind, carnal understanding, human decisions, human. What do you say? They say. Leaning onto your own understanding. It doesn't happen that way. God said, I don't find anybody who's thinking like me, who is interested in the things that of mine, who have such interest to invest. Most things we invest in is carnal worldly things. Our prayer, fasting, all those things, expectation is about money, more this, more that, and more that. They are good, wonderful. But that does not pursue the things of God as God wants it. We serve God by our spirit. We serve God by the new life, living the new life. The new life is controlled by the love of God that goes in that direction. For God so loved the world. Goes in that direction of love for people. Goes in that direction of compassion. Goes in that direction of acceptance. I was saying on Thursday that my mentor went to church and preached, and one woman gave her life to Christ. It was so dramatic that she got saved and got baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was so dramatic. That the next year he went back to the same church. He didn't see the woman again. I said, "What?" I said, "Why is this woman?" And they said, "Ah, says she are backsliding. Ah, it's not those people. It's like doesn't be. It's too unholy for us. It's good that she even goes. You know, let her go and remain." And God said to this pastor, "I will hold this church responsible for her." He said, "There's no soul here that loves her enough to stand in the gap and pray for her. All they are doing is condemning her and doing I holier than that." He said, "I hold him responsible for that soul." Church, the Lord has been talking to me. You see, this church, if we are not serious about retaining the souls that Jesus gives us, he's not giving more. He's not giving more. He told me, he said, "I'm not giving more." He said, who gives children to a woman who has a baby in the maternity, leaves the baby in the maternity to die and walks away? And says, "Where is the baby you had last week?" "Oh, it's in the, in, what do they call it here? Maternity or what? Eh? Labor room." He said, "Who gives more children?" He said, "If you want to adopt children, they come and watch, check your house out. And it's good to give a baby. And they give you a child and you kill that child. Are they going to give you more?" He said, "I'm not giving. I am not giving. I don't give until the church begins to value souls that I died for. When I bring them, I died for them. I love them. Nobody comes to accept. I draw him. When I draw them, I give them to the body. I spare them to nurse them, love them, feed them, take care of them, take care of their scruples, their weaknesses, their failures. Becomes our, we carry it. When we carry it and we see them grow, God will bring more. God is not playing game of numbers and church numbers and all this. God is not in that. God is not serious. He calls him his son. Brethren, he calls him. This is not a joking matter. A Christian can serve God perfectly who is walking in carnal mindedness. It's not going to happen because his love will be different. He loves other things, but not the same thing that God is passionate about. If you get me, shout hallelujah. Romans 1:9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with what? My spirit. Oh, God of mercy. I serve him not with my carnal mind that can't love people, cannot love. It can't love people. It will only love self. It can only love money. It can only love the things that perish. Carnal, blind to spiritual things. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you are blind people. You don't see spiritual things. He said, I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always, what? In my prayer. The thing that consumes me is you, praying for you all the time, without ceasing. I serve him, my heart, I am controlled, I am constrained by his love. I love what he loves, and therefore, if I love what he loves, it drives me to get invested in what he wants me to be invested in. I pray for you without ceasing. Without season. You are my focus of prayer. Without season. The souls that Jesus died for, that came into the kingdom, he said, I pray for you. That Jesus said to the Father, he said, I lost none. I lost what? That should be your testimony. It should be my testimony. It should be the testimony of any church. That's what is sought. Lord, the ones you gave us, we lost what? You are not talking to me. Wake up! I lost what? No. Are we even interested? You know, the Pentecostal churches have learned to do without Jesus. Because they have programs, they have plans, they have experts, they have bishops, and they'll sit down and plan how we do this thing and how we do this thing. And then they use all these kind of things to lure people, entice people, and say our church is growing. Romans 7:6. But now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of just obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living what? In the Spirit. Living, let the Spirit of Christ live in me. The Lord asked me a question, and I asked it on Thursday. He said to me, between a man obeying the laws and Jesus living in that man. Jesus himself, Christ himself, living. Say, between these two lives, which one is superior? Huh? Huh? Which one? I can't hear you. Which one? That's why the Bible says you don't serve God with obeying the law. There's a superior thing. Christ in me, the hope of growth. He's alive. He's walking. He's active. There's a superior activity that Jesus himself is carrying out through you and through me. And if Christ is carrying out that thing, he will direct me, he will move me towards the heart of God. I will love what he loves. I will be invested in what he's invested in. I'll be partner with him because he's the same Spirit of Christ that is working in me, for he's the one at work in me to do. And that's why the Bible says we don't serve God through the law. The law does not prescribe, can't do what Jesus does. So comparison. But the church member is not focused on developing this life of Christ and letting Christ reign in his life. Oh, you talk of, we're talking of evangelism. At our meeting, we're talking about begging people to come to evangelism. Are you serious? It doesn't come with that. Unless the same Spirit of Christ controls you, you won't love the sinner. You won't be invested. You won't be interested in it at all. It's not going to happen. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I'm in your backyard, and I'm going nowhere until we're done. Can I hear amen? So our text said that Jesus is waiting for the early rain and what? There can't be harvest without rain. There cannot be. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for what? All men. Why? For kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. Why? Why is it? Why is it? Verse 4. Who will have all men to be what? Saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the Christ Jesus. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So Paul said, I serve by my spirit. I'm constrained by the love of God. So he gets involved. He gets invested in what God says. This is good that you pray for this. I want all men saved. My death on the cross needs to be maximized. I paid for it all. I mean, it's like you pay for somebody to go and pick something very costly. He's not using it. And so look at Paul in Ephesians 1:16. I cease not to give thanks for what? Give thanks for what? What do I do? Making mention of you where? In my prayers. What am I praying for? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of, may give unto you what? Spirit of wisdom and revelation. So you see, the first reign is the reign of revelation of Christ through the gospel. I'm not done. Put it back. I'm not done. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Why? That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? So that in times like this, we talk about all this canvas or whatever, you know the power that worketh in. According to the working of his mighty power. Now listen, church. The first reign is the reign of the revelation of Christ. The reign of the revelation of who Jesus is. And Paul went into prayer and said, Lord, flood their eyes with revelation. Let there be a rain of revelation and understanding. Because when you have that revelation and understanding, you preach the gospel yourself. And you live the gospel yourself. So the first rain is the rain of revelation of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:14. The lengthy one, we're going to read it. For this reason, verse 14. For this reason, seeing the greatness of his plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow, what do I bow? My knees, where? Before the Father of our Lord. Did you see that Paul is constantly praying for the church? Praying for this reign. Then verse 16. Verse 15, sorry. For whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that the Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name, may he grant you out of the rich treasure of what? His glory to be strengthened and what again? Reinforced with what? Mighty power. Where? In the inner man. By the Holy Spirit himself dwelling, indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ through your faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home where? In your heart. May you be what? Rooted deep in love. So that now when you are rooted deep in love, you are controlled by that love to engage in what is engaging and founded securely in love. Continue. Then that you may have the power now and be strong to begin to apprehend and grasp with all sense God's devoted people and the experience of that love. What is the breadth and length and height and depth of that love? That you may really come to know. You see, it's about bringing you into knowing, into revelation, into grasping, then to know practically through experience for yourself the love of Christ. Which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be now filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of what? The divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Can I hear amen? Look up here, let me tell you something. You see this thing we read, many of us don't even understand it. What this man is talking about. Neither have we experienced it. That my life is fully flooded with God, flooded with that life of Christ, full of Jesus Christ. We don't even understand what he's saying, not to talk of experiencing that fullness. That's what we should be desiring. That's what we should be praying about. Controlled by the love of God. The love of God flowing through me. The love of God flooding my heart. And that's exactly what he told Ephesians. He said, be full of the Holy Spirit and not be drunk with wine. Let God fill your heart. Let God fill my life. We are mere vessels. Oh, can I hear amen? The reign of revelation, the reign of knowing Christ, will bring the fullness of divine life walking in me. And walking in you. And when that happens, like we said, Paul said, I'm not controlled by the love of God. I'm constrained by the love of God. Everything I do, the love of God directs my path. And that will direct your path unto again praying for the reign of revelation, for the church. And then the second reign that he's talking about is the reign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can I hear amen? Acts chapter 1 verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. But wait for what? Uh-oh. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from where? Jerusalem. But what do they wait for? For the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons for which the Father hath put his own power. But you shall do what? Receive power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall now be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and where? All Judea and where? Samaria and where? Unto the uttermost part of the earth. He's telling them, until the rain comes on you, you can't bear fruit. You can't produce harvest without rain, church. You can't. It's not possible. He said, don't go to anywhere. Wait. There's coming a rain upon you. There's coming an outpouring upon you. That will make you fruitful. Acts 1:12. Then return they unto Acts 1:12 now. Then returned they where? Unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Verse 13. And when they were coming, what did they do? They went up where? into the upper room and started sharing pizza. Where about both who? Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, Zelotes, Judas, the brother of James. These all continue to talk about, you know, did you see where he went up? I saw, did you see the hand when the cloud covered it? Is that what they were talking about? You remember, Jesus just ascended. So they had something to talk about. But that was not what they were saying. They know that without prayer, there will be no rain. These all continued with one accord. What? Church, talk to me. What? In prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. They continued in prayer. They continued in prayer. Church, can I tell us something? God will not do a lot for humanity unless we pray. Charles Finney made that statement over 100 years ago, and it's a fact. It's a fact. Before Jesus came, do you know that people were praying? Who and who? Hannah and who? Simeon. God locked them up in the temple praying for the coming of Jesus. They were praying there. And when Jesus came, he told his disciples, he said, others have labored. You are simply enjoying the labor of others. People have labored before. This thing, you are enjoying their labor. Simeon and Hannah. The woman lost her husband so that she would pray. The mystery of God. Mystery of God. From what? Young girl, she lost her husband. And God took her to the temple, locked her there. I want you to pray. And now, before the Holy Spirit came, he took the whole disciples into one room and what? Locked the thing, threw away the key. Say, you people pray here. Remember, before then, they were in trouble. They were quarreling. No, this one not quarreling. They went there and started praying earnestly, seeking God. And then, because they were praying, the Bible says the day of the Pentecost finally came. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, what happened? They were all with one accord in one place. Let me read from here. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and they sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation. See the harvest. See what the rain brings. Church, see it. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation, under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that day every man had them speak in his own language. Verse 7. And they were all what? Amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these who speak what? Galileans. And had here we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Persians, Medes, Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia in Egypt and the parts of Libya, even Africa, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretes, Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues. What were they speaking? The wonderful words of God. That's what the rain does. It makes a difference. Jesus said, don't go out there. You need this outpouring. Because when it comes, it will reveal to the world that Jesus is alive. They will see what they have never seen.
They were mesmerized. They were saying, we've never seen anything like this. That's why they change. It's not just gathering Sunday morning. It's not. That should be outpouring all the time. Somebody shout hallelujah. Outpouring all the time. Manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's for evangelism. It shows everybody that's a living Christ. He's alive. He has left the grave. He's among you. See what he's doing. See the wonders of his glory. Somebody shout hallelujah. It's not me sitting there doing nothing. And when the people began to see this thing, verse 14, but Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men, I'm reading verse 14, ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it is about the third hour of the day. But this is what that which was spoken by prophet what? Joel. Let's see what Joel said. Joel 2:23. Let's see what Joel said about the rain that brings in the harvest. Be glad then. Joel 2:23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately. He will cause to come down to you, for you, the rain, the former rain, and now the latter rain in the first month, 24, and the floors will be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts had what? Eaten. The backsliding people are coming back. The backsliding. The cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. My great army which I send among you. And you shall eat what? Verse 26. And you shall eat what? In plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. 27. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. They will see the manifestation of my presence among them. They will know that I'm in the midst of Israel and that I'm the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon what? All flesh. And your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see vision. There will be manifestations of my spirit. Wonders and signs. That's what the church is for. I and the children you are giving me were for what? Signs and not sitting down doing nothing. All of us should be full of God, should be anointed of the Spirit of God, and we all should be for signs and wonders. Can I hear amen, church? Let the church wake up. This is a sleeping army. There's a rain that makes it happen. And he says, what verse did I read last? And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days, I will pour out my what? Spirit. And I will show what? Wonders in the heavens. And where again? In the earth. What again? Blood. What again? Fire. What again? Pillar. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. He said, I'm going to demonstrate my presence such as the world has never seen. It's not enough to give tracts. Oh yeah, tracts are wonderful. But God said, I have to do something more than your tracts to convince them that I'm alive. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Are you following me? If you are following me, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 22. And it shall come to pass that whoever now shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall, there shall be what? Deliverance. Verse 32. Oh, you are in 31. I'm in 32 already now. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be, that is salvation. As the Lord has said, and in the realm and in the remnant of the Lord shall come. He said, there shall now be harvest. There shall not be harvest. There shall not be. Hosea 6:3. Hosea 6:3. Are you following me? Hosea 6:3. Then shall we know. What shall we know? If we follow on to know the Lord. See, the harvest of revelation. His going forth is prepared as the morning. And he shall come unto us as what? The rain. He's coming with the anointing of the Spirit of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain and former rain unto the earth. Can I hear amen? Now, you know the former rain, you know the early rain. The early rain was the one that came on the day of Pentecost. It came only on Jewish church. That's the early rain. It came on, the Gentiles were not, it came only on the Jewish church. And see the harvest that came because of that outpouring on the Jewish church. And then the second rain came again. The second rain came upon the church again at Acts chapter 4. And then came on the Gentiles. And that second rain brought the Gentiles into the kingdom. Can I hear amen? Church, can I hear amen? There's this former rain that came. You call it the initial one. That's what they call the former. The early one. The early one is the initial one that came on the day of Pentecost. But he's saying there's a later one. There's a continuous outpouring. Continuous outpouring. Church, shout hallelujah. There's a continuous what? Outpouring that brings the harvest. But the church has to pray. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Are you following what I'm saying? When the time of later rain, the initial one we saw at the day of Pentecost, Acts 4:29, and now, Lord, behold their treading, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. You see, the harvest of rain, I mean the rain of revelation, by stretching forth now thy hand to heal, and that what will happen? You are not following me. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. You see? The outpouring, the latter rain came. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that ought of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Verse 33. Let's read 33 together. 1, 3, go. Let's go. What brought this great power and great grace? The outpouring on you. The outpouring of the latter rain upon you. The outpouring. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. The rain came upon the Gentiles. That's how we all became Christians too. It came upon the Gentiles. Acts chapter 10, 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is what? Accepted with him. Verse 36. The word. See? The reign of the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of all. The word, I say, you see the word again? The word again? The outpouring of revelation, the word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, that it, how God anointed who? Jesus of Nazareth with and with the same thing for every Christian. And what happened when he was anointed? Who went about doing good and doing what? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. 39. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him where? Openly. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drank with him after he rose from the dead. 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the rain came. Somebody shout hallelujah. The latter rain was poured on the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit fell on all them. Remember, Joel said, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. There's going to be a rain of my spirit upon all flesh. The thing happened to the Gentiles. And Jews were surprised that the rain had come upon all flesh and Gentiles were included. And then he said, the Holy Spirit fell on them which had the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Verse 45. 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were what? Astonished. As many as came with who? Why? Because that on the Gentiles was also what? Poured. Everybody say poured. Come on. Was on the Gentiles. What? Poured. I shall pour my spirit. It's the time of letter in church. It's not just warming chairs. It shall be upon you. It shall be upon me. We shall be for signs and wonders. And they were surprised. They said, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out, not trinkle, not, brethren, we are singing of showers of blessings. Yeah, showers is good, but this is time of rain. Awesome for showers. Thank God for showers. I'm no more looking for showers. I'm looking for the rain. I'm looking for the rain. It's rain. Pouring his spirit. It's not your pastors. It's for you. It's for me. It's upon the church. It's for, he said, handmaids, house guests, everybody. 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 That's what will bring the harvest. Jesus said, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for this harvest so that I can come and take my church home. Somebody shout hallelujah. Acts 4:4. Look at the harvest because of the outpouring. Acts 4:4. Can we read it together? Everybody want to go? Let's go. How be it, many of them which had the word, what? Believed. And what happened? The number of the men about what? That's what you are talking about. Harvest, 5,000. It's not two people gave their, you know, we are giving a report. We started our giving report. I was saying to the Lord, this is not your glory. I said, what's all this? I said, what's all this? We're talking about thousands. That's what the outpouring brings. The rain. It brings the harvest. Tell your neighbor, the rain brings the harvest. Acts 2:24. I mean, Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received this word, were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them 3 believers. Give me 40, I haven't done 41, let's stay there. Added unto them 10 people. Brethren, praise the Lord, today we want 4 souls. Showers time is over. This is the time of rain. The harvest is ripe. Jesus said the harvest is ripe. There's no laborer. Nobody laboring and praying and seeking God for the rain. Nobody seeking the things of God. Nobody. I say our church is growing. Let's read this and see a growing church for rain. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them. How many? 3,000 souls. That's God working. That's how the Holy Spirit works. He multiplies things. Somebody shout hallelujah. But not a sleeping church. Not a sleeping group of believers who are so carnal. All they think about is worldly things, worldly things, worldly things. Checking their, they can't even give to God. They can't give to the gospel. They can't give anything. It's about, oh, I want to play safe. I'm saving for tomorrow, rainy day. No, the rain you should be saving for is the one we are talking about. If it comes on you, he says, Go and read what Joel said. He said, then you'll be eating and you'll be satisfied. He said, I'll restore to you anything you lose. Because I'm the Lord your provider. Somebody shout hallelujah. Zechariah 10. Is anybody following me? Did I lose you? If you are with me, shout hallelujah. Okay. Zechariah 10. Zechariah 10 verse 1. Can we read it together? Ask ye of the Lord what? Rain. In the time of the lettering. What did he say we should ask? Rain. In the time of the lettering. What did he say we should ask? Rain. In the time of the lettering. Can I hear amen? Verse Ephesians 6, 18. This is what we do. Ephesians 6, 18. Praying always. With what? Ephesians 6, 18. Praying what? Always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for what? All saints. And the rain will be falling. Continuous rain. Continuous rain. Continuous rain. And with it, Paul said, you are filled with the fullness of his life. Can I hear amen? That's where we're going. That will be your experience. In 2020, that will be your experience. You think, okay, in 2020, you have $10 million. Nobody said it. The Spirit of God in the life of man is something. I want us to rise up. I want us to rise up. I want you to pray that God will send the rain upon us, upon you, upon your family, upon you, upon your family. The early rain, yes. The initial one, yes. But there's later one that is pouring.